Accession number 9346, Reel 1.
Arthur Baxter, tape 1. Arthur, could I ask you something about your life?
My life?
Before you went into the forces, where were you born and brought up?
Rendham. I left school when I was 12 and a half. I went to the farm next door where we lived. There were 30 cows there. And I used to have milk 6 in the morning, 6 at night. Start work at 5:30 in the morning. Finished up at 6. How much you think? What do you think my wages were for a week?
What were they?
3 bob. And said they said it was just like any other day, that time of day, you know. And I used to do about 5 hours on a Sunday. And I had to take milk round Swetland in 2 great cans. Deliver that to the door, 3/8 a point. And some of them are poor old people. When said they come, they had a job to come 10/8 a week. 10/8 a week. Some of them poor old people, like see some of them poor old ladies now looking in their purse. 10/8. Well, then I went in the army when I was 18. I put my age on. Well, look, after I'd done 6 months, I asked the boss for 6 and 2 week rise to make 4 and 6. He said, if you aren't satisfied, get another job. Well, they went on about 3 weeks, perhaps. I did get it. That made it 4 and 6.
Before you went into the army, did you know anything about war?
No. But I'll tell you what I can remember. I can just remember the Boer War finishing. About 1901 or 2, wasn't it? I remember my father and mother talking, you see. It's funny, isn't it? But, see, about August 1914, there was a recruiting meeting down here, see, where all the old lads flocked in the Kitchener. Your king and country needs you, you know that, don't you, Kitcheners? Because I went up to the recruiting sergeant. How old are you, sonny? I said, 18. Oh, sir, I'm sorry. He said, I can't take you. You've got to be 19. I think this was a Wednesday night. I ain't quite sure about that. So I, another old boy, the Saturday night, went to Sexmundham. There's recruiting office down there. Away we go. How old are you, sonny? 19. Right. Just as easy as that. And they sent us to Bury St Edmunds, sent to Suffolk Redden. From there to Felixstowe. Put us through infantry training. I went through everything, fired the course and every mortal thing, and I was a first class shot. And then, as you're talking about Westleton Day, there was another man from Westleton, I can't think of his name now. Him and I were both first class shots, so they asked us if we'd volunteer to be a sniper. We both did. Well, when I got back into my camp, there's some old soldiers what had been to France and wounded, and anyone been it. And I told him I was proud of myself for the first class shot, you see. They told me I was a damn fool to volunteer. They said, you want to cancel that? So I did. Well, that one from Westland, Potter, his name was Potter, he carried on. And poor old boy, he had both his legs blown off.
So you didn't volunteer to be a sniper then? You carried on with your ordinary infantry
training? Yes, right through. Passed out the infantry, yeah.
Could you tell me what sort of training you were doing at this time,
what,
Arthur?
What
sort of training were you doing?
Well, firing, bayonet work, digging trenches, making the bombs, hand grenades, really. They weren't on about that time.
No. How did you make those?
Out of jam tins.
What did you do to the jam tins?
Put some bits of metal in, you see, then the charge and a fuse, sealed up. When I first went to France, all artillery, that was all rationed, you know, shellfire was, shells. So was ammunition, small number, see what they call that, 303 rifle ammunition.
Did you have to go on route marches while you were training?
Yes. We used to march of, do you know Felixstowe, Ipswich, that road? Marched that dozens of times. We used to march from Felixstowe to Ipswich, turn round, then go back onto Marlton Heath. Marlton Heath was all built up now, you know that, dear? I knew that when they weren't, nothing there, only shrub. We used to make a bandit charge across there with about equipment, about 60 pounds on our back, you know.
How about trench warfare? Were you taught how to dig trenches?
Yeah, we learned to dig them at Trimley. Trimley. That's just this, you know that place? We used to dig it, had to do them in the dark. They were stuck out during the daytime, because you wouldn't dig a trench state. You see, you have to make what they call traverse. You dig that way so far and then that. Because when I first had the trenches out in France, I dug them straight. Well, Jerry got his machine gun up this end, look. Well, then they see they had what they call traverse. We used to dig that worked two together, one with a pick and one with a shovel, in the dark. And you weren't allowed to make much noise, because that was all training, you understand. That they examined them when we'd finished. Parapet, that's it, yeah. It had to be exactly so. And the parados is the backside. It had to be just so. Then we had to fill them in. Get back to camp.
When you actually got over to the front... When you got over to the front, did you find the training was adequate? Did it prepare
you? No, I can't say it was. Yeah. Well, I mean, you see, you'd got young officers. They didn't know the job, plenty. I don't know what to say, so perhaps they didn't know the job, you know. They'd lost a lot of men. Is that going on there?
When you were at Felixstowe in the camp, what was your living conditions? What were these like?
Well, we had the tables were outside. They were all built tents. That's all built up now in a big village. I was 16 in a tent, built tent, 16 men in a built tent. Yeah, there was 16 rifles hung on the centre pole at night. And well, we just go down to the old cookhouse and get some grub, you see.
What was the grub like?
Well, that one cooked too well. I mean, if anyone could get food somewhere else, they'd get it. They've been used to no chap come selling chips alone. Penny a packet. That's where you also used to get our tea. Down against the Ordnance Hotel. Ordnance Hotel, do you know that? Well, you know something better than I do.
How about your uniform? How soon did you get a uniform after you joined up?
Within a very few days. In less than a week. Hmm. And they took our civilian clothes and bundled them up and put them in the post, you see, sent them home. Hmm.
How did you like army life, Arthur? Did you take to it?
If I tell the truth, I liked it. I did.
Mm. What did you like about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that was sort of carefree life. Until I began to get them stripes and that was good. They forced them on too, you see. They forced them out in France, you see. Well, they had to, because so many NCOs were getting killed every day. Yeah, I finished up a sergeant, you see. I don't expect I was about 20, roughly.
Could you tell me about the unit you belong to? You were saying you joined the Suffolk Regiment.
Suffolk Regiment? Yeah, I was a real infantryman there, you see. Mm.
And what company and battalion were you in?
The machine gun. When I got in the machine gun corps. Well, we went to Grantham. That was our depot. That's where Maggie come from, innit?
Margaret Thatcher.
But I'll tell you this much, twin me and you, if you like. We didn't like them people at Grantham. They were too stuck up.
Weren't they friendly to you?
No, they were very... Well, they weren't nasty people, but they weren't our class. Well...
How about the people in Felixstowe?
Oh, they were quite all right. They were different as possible. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes. There were some thousands of troops down there, you know. Of course, they were expecting an invasion around that district, you know. They used to turn us out at nights. We used to dig a trench along the prompt side of the promenade. Then when the sea came up, I used to call some funny words. Have you out sea, perhaps a couple of hours down the night, you see.
When you went into the machine gun section, did you volunteer for that?
No. We'd been on a route march from Ipswich this day. We pulled up, the whole company pulled up against the Ordens. Way coming off from the sergeant, and he picked out about 40 men out of the whole lot and told us to be ready to move, I think within 2 hours. I ain't quite sure about that. We got ready, packed up, and marched just up to the town station. That's done away with now, isn't it? Loaded us up, and we finished up at Grantham. Belton Park, that's the name.
Could you now tell me, Arthur, about your training at Belton Park?
Well, we'd done a little machine gun training, and then we was picked out again. And on the train, finished up at Bradford, Yorkshire. And they marched us to the cavalry barracks, the big cavalry barracks there. Well, of course, all the main cavalry was out in France and Mesopotamia, or out that way somewhere. Yeah. We had to go for a riding school.
How did you get on with that?
Well, not too good to start with. I'll tell you the truth. We washed the sore until we couldn't walk. And that old outdoor riding school, that was all clinkers from some big factory there. If you fell off, you knew where you know where you'd been, because them horses knew more than we did, you see. They were old cavalry horses. But that was 5 o'clock in the morning again, looking after horses. And after 7 o'clock at night, we were allowed out into the town after seven.
How long did they give you?
3 weeks. We passed out in 3 weeks. And they told us we'd gone through as much in 3 weeks as an ordinary cavalryman would in peacetime in 6 months. I tell you, we couldn't walk. We skinned. And then you had to learn to ride and drive, you call it, you see.
Yes, what is riding and driving? Could you describe that?
Yes. Yes, well, you could say that could be me, because that isn't.
Oh, yes, this is a picture in George Coppard's book.
Yeah, that's Albert. That's the Virgin Mary.
At Ypres.
Yes, read about that before.
Yes.
I've been under it dozens of times. Mm. Well, when old Jerry knocked us back in 1918, he captured Albert. That's Albert. And as soon as our people were afraid he'd get his lookouts up the top, that big stable, so our people shelled that and knocked it down.
But this riding and driving, you had to become proficient in that,
yes.
Did you?
We passed out in the bitter traffic at Bradford in the city.
What did you have to do when you were riding and driving?
Well, that's two pairs of horses on a wagon. look after one horse with your left hand and other one on the outside with your right hand, you see. We took them to France. Mules, we took mules to France.
Was that tricky?
Well, that was till you get used to it. But you could. I was going to say I'd scores of miles nearly asleep. I have. That's what clinched me more than anything. Want sleep.
Did you find horses and mules different to handle?
Well, there wasn't so much difference. I took a pair of mules out. Yeah, there was a good pair of mules. And I used them for some time till I got my second stripe. Well, then I was responsible for getting the rations and everything up at night, up these old dirt tracks.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that later, Arthur. When we get on at the front, I'll ask you about that later.
Yeah.
But if I could keep to your time in England, you mentioned the machine gun.
Yeah.
You had training.
Mm.
Could you tell me what sort of training that was? First of all,
well,
the machine gun. What type of gun was it?
That's on that. You've got a new one up there. I saw that.
Okay. Could you tell me what type it was? Was it...
I don't think I can. But you see, the most important thing is if you get a breakage or a block, learn what to do. Quickness. That's everything when you're up. Yes. But, you see, they should be 5 men on a machine gun.
Yes.
You want two filling the belts. Each belt, 250 rounds, you see. And with a bit of luck, you could fire 500 in a minute. 500 and two belts.
So two men filling the belts,
mm-hmm.
And what were the other three?
Well, that's number one what was doing the firing. The second one was seeing the belt go through proper, so it don't block. And the other man, well, doing odd jobs, you might say, you know what I mean? But very rarely there was more than 3 men on a gun. But if something very important was coming off, we'd get a couple of men out of the infantry to help to fill the belts, you see.
What job did you normally do?
Well, I'd done anything what one doing, but I say I was never, well, what would I say, in charge of one gun for long. They want me getting a grub and that up. That's a very reliable job, you know. In the dark all the time. No dirt track. There's 16 guns in the company. 4 sections. Well, you've got your rations in four lots, you see, look, for each section. And I've been up there when there's been something doing, and them gunners are dug in, you see, with a muzzle just sticking out. They didn't come out there, you know, after their grub. Oh. Because we didn't know what that was to be protected like that. I don't want you to think I'm braver than anybody else, you know. Because I won't.
No, but we want to hear what happened, Arthur, and thank you for telling us. When you first went into this machine gunning, am I right in thinking that was a machine gun section of your battalion?
Yes.
And then later you were formed into a machine gun company.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes, there was a machine gun company to every brigade. After our company was one of the first machine gun companies ever went out as a company. Yes, about the first week in 1916. And they were very pleased to see us. There were 16 guns extra to that brigade, 51st Brigade. Well, our company took that 51st Machine Gun Company, see, of the 17th Infantry Division. Yeah.
Could I ask you now, Arthur, about going overseas?
About what?
About going overseas. Who told you you were about to go over?
We had 4 days leave. 4 days leave. Yeah.
What did you do when you had your leave?
I had dropped beer, ran a white horse. And we went back.
How about your parents? Were they, you know, how did they react to you going into the army?
Well, they didn't show much in front of me, you see. But I remember the day I went into the army, I got rid of it at 9 o'clock in the morning. My mother went into the shed with a coal hod. She pretended she was filling a hod of coal.
Because she was upset?
Mm, yeah. But do you know, there was 13 men killed out of Swefflin, you know, that little village, 13 men. There was.
Could you tell me about your journey overseas? Did you have special kit and equipment before you set off?
No. What we'd got when the Felixstowe, that went with us to Grantham, and then went from Grantham we went to Poperinge up in Belgium. Poperinge. There's a train pulled in, Algeria's that shelling. Damn great 18 shells. So they backed us back out far down the line. That was a good reception, wasn't it? Poperinge.
What did you think of that, your first experience?
Well,
of shelling?
I don't know, really. Everything was so different. I mean, I don't know how to tell you exactly. But I mean, after we got going, well, next morning we went in the bell tents and there was snow there, I think, at depth on the flat. He come over next morning, soon as I broke daylight with a little old plane. They weren't nothing but wire and canvas that time day. And you could see him sitting there just like I can see you. Well, they used to drop their bombs by hand over the side. Very small bombs, but they'd kill. Well, they come over, we got up the Poperinge on a Saturday night, during Saturday night. And he come over the first thing, Sunday morning, and dropped two bombs in amongst these bell tents. They killed two of our gunners. They hadn't been there in about a few hours. Look, that was a start.
Did you find that very upsetting?
Well, I can't say that it did, not really. I suppose we were trained. Well, we must have been tough, I think. I don't know. Well, the Sunday evening, well, we had general inspection. We had general inspection that Sunday morning. No general praise us up with 16 guns extra, you know. He said, now have a good rest. He said, you had some hard training and travelling. He said, you won't be wanting in action. Not this time, because my company, my brigade was in action, you see. Well, about 8 o'clock this Sunday night, get ready to fall in. Hey, mate, just saw up. I can't think. There's a big memorial there now with all about 56,000 name of Meenim Road.
So you were in Ypres?
Yeah, Ypres. Yeah, have you been to Ypres? Have you?
Well, what was your impression of that battlefront?
Well, that made you think you couldn't realise what they tell you, because I mean, that general said we shouldn't be wanting, he said, till the brigade come out. But I think that was done to test us, to see how quick we get out. But we didn't go into action. They took us up this road, as high purple trees besides. Oh, yeah, I was shelling them as great old bits flopping down. And we stood and sit about there for about 2 hours, and then we had to come back.
You didn't do anything?
Nothing. But that was done to test us, to see us what that was. And of course, they never tell you anything, you see. Never tell you. No.
Yes. What is it like when you go up like that with a machine gun section? What do you have to do when you're setting up your guns at the front?
Well, you see, you'd get a 16 guns, you'd get about 8 that'd be in what you call in action, other 8 being close reserve, you see. Well, first thing they dig in, first thing you've got to make protection, that's the main thing. And of course, you aren't allowed to fire not just anything on account of wasting ammunition, you see. But if Jerry was coming over the top, well, you can let him have it, you know, full tilt. Well, that was either that or being killed yourself or something like taking prisoner.
Was it difficult getting the trenches dug for your machine gun?
Well, no. No, you see, you've got your trench run like that. You've got a communication trench run up like that, you see. When you get up pretty near, you've got your second line of trenches and your first line, you see. Your reserves in the plus reserves, I call them, in the second line. Of course, you get the shell or two, damage the trenches. I mean, you've got to climb over with rubbish and everything.
Did you have to be careful about protecting around the gun?
No. I dug in mostly, so the barrel's just out, you see. Because they used to do a lot of what they call overhead fire in old Jerry's second or third line, you see. Perhaps while our boys are going out to mend the barbed wire or on patrol, there's patrols in no man's land every night, you see. And old Jerry also used to put fairy lights up. He put lights right up that burst and hang there for about a couple of minutes, I expect. That light up ever so far out. Because what you have to do is fling yourself down, you see. Do your sniper at heavy or Jerry's machine gun. Because, I mean, after we got... Well, we live for the day.
Well, after your first experience of going up the Menin Road, did you go into the Ypres area again?
No, I don't think that worried me a lot. No, I used to think we was getting fairly tough.
You went back to that area, did you?
Yep.
The Ypres, you did have action there. Could you tell me about that?
Well, Ypres, that was a city, I think. They'd got this cloth hall there. Oh, that was a beautiful place. Well, old Jerry was just round that three sides, look. Well, two sides, and that he never did take it. But that was a death trap to come up there, because he'd fire at you from there. There's hundreds killed there in Ypres. And that great big hall, the last... Well, I went up there for the Battle of Passchendaele. That great big hall, that's Knock Smithereens.
Yes, I must ask you about the Battle of Passchendaele. What happened to you? Is there anything else you can tell me about Ypres? Any operations you were concerned with there, Arthur?
Well, all I can say is that was a very dangerous place. You couldn't go through that in daylight. But we had to go through that to get up to our positions. The first time we went in there, a place called the Bluff. And there's all shelling it. I tell you, he's around it three ways. He never did take it. But he tried all them times. That's men died there.
What did it look like, that area, when you were there? This would have been in January 1916.
Yes.
What did this sort of landscape look like?
Well, that was all knocked to ribbons. Oh, yes. I've been a lot fighting up there before I got there. Yes, yes. That's where he first put gas over, you see, up there, you know. And, of course, all men, they hadn't got nothing to protect them, you know. Do you know what they used to do? Do you mind me telling you? They used to tear a bit off the shirt and wet on it. There ain't many people believe that, is there? Well, of course, then they got these old respirators, old bit of shirt and old shirt and stuff.